talking over the past several weeks about Christian integrity, integrity in conduct, in business. Today, we want to ask the question, what about integrity in worship?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we've been talking over the past several sessions about Christian integrity. Today, we want to talk about integrity in worship. How do we know that we are worshiping God in the correct manner? What does the scripture say about it? Before we can get into that, we have to understand what worship is. Worship is ministry, and the scripture is very clear that that ministry is twofold. It's not only important to know God's word, but it's also important to know God's ways. And we understand the ways of God through the scripture by seeing the patterns of what God establishes, by seeing the patterns of how He reacts to certain circumstances in what He does, and also by what He has ordained. The pattern of Scripture shows us that when it comes to worship, God ordains first that He be ministered to. And that's what praise and worship is all about. And usually all worship services begin with praise and worship, in which the congregation lifts up holy hands in praise and glory to the Lord, singing in the Spirit or singing in spiritual songs to glorify the Lord. That is the first part of a worship service and in the conduct of integrity in worshiping the Lord, giving him his due. So the first part of worship is ministering unto the Lord, giving him his due. That is the honor and the glory that is due him. In the second part of a worship service, the Lord, Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, through the pastor or the elder who is delivering the message, ministers to the congregation. So there is a mutual ministry in worship, beginning with honoring the Lord and ministering to the Lord, and then yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit minister to the body of Christ that is present. Thus, the worship service, when conducted in integrity, giving God what is due to him, honor, glory, worship, praise, adoration, when that is achieved, the body of Christ enters into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father in the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 1, verse 3, we understand that man was created to fellowship and worship God. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And it continues in verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You see, if you worship God in fellowship and integrity, you should be filled with joy at the honor and at the privilege of worshiping him, honoring him, loving him. You see, some people want Jesus because of what he can do for them. We need to worship and praise and honor the Lord for what he has done for us, going to the cross for us, taking our sins upon himself, and paying the price for all sin and ransoming us by his precious blood. Thus, a worship service begins with thanksgiving, and then it moves into praise. Old Testament scripture says, "We enter his gates with thanksgiving, and we enter his courts with praise." So it is only right then that in a worship service, we sing to the Lord in thanksgiving, songs of thanksgiving, and then we move into songs of praise, and then songs of worship and adoration. This, in fact, is the model of Scripture. So if we are, as Christians, to apply our Christian integrity to worship of the Lord, then we will do it according to the Word of God and according to the pattern of the Word of God. In Hebrews 8:5, the Holy Spirit by Paul said, "See that you do all according to the pattern." Now here, the pattern that was prescribed, that Paul was mentioning, was in reference to the worship service of the tabernacle of Moses. But God says, "I change not." Another pattern of worship was established with the Davidic tabernacle, in which music and praise and dance was added. In Philippians 2, verse 1 and 2, we read, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any emotions and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." You see, friends, when we worship God, we come to him in love and fellowship. And here, Paul was saying that same love and like-mindedness must be united in the body, that the body worship in one accord or of one mind. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, it says of the early church, the early body of Christ, that they did everything in unity and one accord. Why then today do we have over 18,000 different denominations, each going their own way? Are there 18,000 different forms of righteousness? Where is the unity and where is the one accord? You see, man was created to worship God in order to fellowship with God. Now, the scripture says that those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's read that. It's in John 4, verse 23 and 24. Listen to what it says. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So our Christian integrity demands of us that we worship in spirit and in truth. Notice what John 4:24 said. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, it isn't optional. So the next thing that must be asked by any Christian who wants to walk in integrity is whether his form of worship, whether his form of belief, whether his form of fellowship with other so-called Christians is true to doctrine, true to the truth of the word, and true to the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture talks not only about vain prayer, the word vain means useless, but the scripture also talks about vain or useless worship. Useless worship is religion. When we started this program, we quoted 1 John 1:3, in which we read, and I'll repeat it again, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, worshiping God is all about fellowship, intimacy with him. In religion, there is no intimacy. Religion is the stuff that is made up of rituals, formalisms, and ceremonies by which no man can ever know God and by which no man can ever go to God. God is not a God of religion. He is a God of relationship, of fellowship, as we've just read. If you can hold on to that one thing, then you can determine whether in your integrity as a Christian you are worshiping in spirit and in truth. Yes. You were created to worship God. I was created to worship God. But there is a way to worship him in which fellowship takes place, and that is what he is seeking from us. Notice what John 4:23 said. The hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Who does he seek? Those who are willing to worship in spirit and in truth. Religion is not spirit, and religion is not truth. Religion is man going to God according to his own understanding. That's mind, and mind is soul. In John 3:6, Jesus says, "The things of the spirit are spirit, and the things of the flesh are flesh." Flesh is part of the soul. So religion is soulish. It misses the mark. The Holy Spirit spoke about this through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, we read, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear, that is their reverence toward me, is taught by the precept of men." Another translation says, "This people rever me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but their heart is far from me, and their reverence toward me consists of traditions learned by memory." I think that says it all. That's the stuff that religion is made up of. No, God is not a God of religion. God is a God of relationship, covenant. Covenant is a contract. There are two parts of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament means covenant. In a covenant, God makes a contract with you to save you if you worship him directly. A covenant is between two people. That's where the integrity lies in. If you have a third party going to God before you on your behalf, there is no covenant. A covenant is between two people. In the case of the worship of God, it's between God and you, between God and me. However, when you have a priest or a rabbi or some other person going to God on your behalf, covenant is eliminated. It's a violation of Scripture. It isn't truth. It isn't spirit. You see, the gospel is God coming to man to save man. That's grace. Religion is man going to God, trying to please God by trying to clean himself up and make himself presentable to God. The scripture says, all of your works are like dirty rags to the Lord. That doesn't work. But true worship, in which we romance God from our heart, touches God because he desires us. Did you know that the word worship actually means, in the Hebrew, to approach with a kiss? It also means to bow down before. So the essence of worship is to romance God, because he is a God of love. In fact, scripture says that. God is love. In Psalm 45, verse 11, we read, so shall the king greatly desire your beauty, for he is your Lord, and worship you him. Did you know that God desires you? God loves you. Let me say that again. God loves you. Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that God knew you from before the creation and called you by name. God created you. Before he created you, he knew every sin you would ever commit in your life. It didn't stop him from creating you. It did not stop Christ from going to the cross for you, to redeem you, to ransom you. And guess what? He did it because he loves you and he loves me. And so we owe God worship. We owe him that honor and glory for what he has done for us, not for what he can do for us. Worship must come from the heart. In Ephesians 5, verses 19 through 21, we read, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The word fear there means in reverence and awe of God. We also see that worship must come from the heart when we read Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Listen to what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So worship is not religious. Christian integrity demands proper worship. Religion doesn't work. God does not honor it or recognize it. In Isaiah 29:13, we said that God said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but their heart is far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by memory. In Matthew 15:7, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's Jesus talking. In Amos 5:21, God said through the prophet, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. In verse 22, he continued, though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. You see, God doesn't care for rituals, formalisms, ceremonies. God wants relationship. Christian integrity demands that we have a relationship of God, and the heart of that relationship is honoring him and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You cannot worship God in spirit or in truth unless you know whom it is that you are worshiping. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me but by the Father. I ask Father God to draw you to the Lord Christ Jesus today, and I ask that you open up your heart to him so that he may reveal himself to you as a living person. Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. He who opens the door and lets me in, I will come in to him and fellowship with him and he with me. That's the heart of worship. That's the heart of relationship with a living God who loves you. You may say, nobody's ever loved me. Jesus loves you, and Jesus will reveal himself to you for the asking. All you have to do is be willing to turn from your sin and open up your hearts to him, and you will see that it is self-proving. If Jesus has a way into your life, Jesus has a way out of your circumstances. He says in the scripture, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Are you ready? Today is as good a day as any. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart right now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin. Pray this prayer aloud with me now, won't you?
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or a personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.